Our next case this morning is number 073147, the Nautilus Insurance Company against 1452-4 North Milwaukee Avenue LLC et al. Shores.
Good morning. May it please the court. This insurance dispute arises out of a construction project in which contractors hired by the insured, whom I'll refer to as 1452 owner, performed construction or allegedly performed construction supervision, shoring, and or excavation work at a particular project at the insured's property. As a result of this work, the neighboring property was allegedly damaged and lawsuits filed. Nautilus filed a declaratory judgment action to determine whether it had a duty to defend. Two of the three defendants who appeared filed answers and motions for judgment on the pleadings. The insured 1452 owner never filed an answer but filed a motion to dismiss. Because the action was never fully at issue in the district court, no discovery took place and Nautilus never or could not have filed any dispositive motion. The district court treated all of the motions as motions for judgment on the pleadings and granted judgment in favor of the appellees and against Nautilus. There are two provisions at issue, and I'd like to first address the contractor-subcontractor's exclusion. And that exclusion applies to property damage, not acts giving rise to liability, but property damage arising out of operations performed for you, the insured, by contractors or subcontractors, or your insured's acts or omissions in connection with your general supervision of such operations. The important point to note in the language of that exclusion is that it doesn't say that the acts giving rise to liability were done by a contractor or subcontractor. The connection here is between the property damage and the contractors or subcontractors' work for the insured, or general supervision by the insurer. Now, the appellees in their brief, actually on page 5 of their brief, state specifically the plaintiffs in the underlying suits, that the excavation activities caused property damage to the building located at 1448 North Milwaukee Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, and the personal property therein. So there, the excavation activities caused the property damage, and we agree with that. Now, the underlying lawsuits also allege that CK Development and Frank Cam, who were co-defendants of the insured, were hired to perform construction, shoring, construction supervision, and or excavation services. And the underlying complaints also allege that 1452 owner was responsible for ensuring, quote, that its contractors completed its work in a safe and workmanlike manner to protect adjacent property and land. So any failures by 1452 owner in connection with excavation and or shoring were in its role as the entity that hired contractors to do that work and in its supervisory role of those contractors. There's no allegations in the underlying suit that any employees of 1452 owner were manning equipment at the site or personally performing excavation or shoring activities or anything to the like.
But doesn't the owner of the property have a duty to notify surrounding landowners when there's going to be an excavation? A statutory duty?
Yes, and that actually was what I was going to move to next. The Act does refer to acts that are by the owner in failing to give notice. But there's a key aspect of that statute that relates specifically to how the exclusion applies here. And one of the required elements of that statute is that the violator, quote, is liable to the owner of adjacent property for any damage to the land or to any buildings or other structure thereon arising from such excavation. So a necessary element of liability under the Adjacent Landowner Excavation Protection Act is that the excavation caused property damage to the neighboring property. And so here, again, we get back to the issue of if there were excavation activities and they were performed by contractors or subcontractors of the insured, and those excavation activities caused property damage to the neighboring property, then the third element is established here by the contractors and subcontractors' acts. I disagree with the appellees in their brief when they suggest that the contractors and subcontractors' conduct had nothing to do with liability under the Act. The 1452 owner could not have been liable under this Act without excavation work done by its contractors that caused damage to the neighboring property. And really the issue here is the arising out of language. And while there are no Illinois cases or very few other cases that deal with this particular exclusion, there are some significant Illinois cases that deal with arising out of and how it's applied in the context of an exclusion. One of them is actually from the Illinois Supreme Court, which we discussed in our reply brief, the Northbrook Property versus Transportation Joint Agreement case. In that case, one of the allegations was that the insured failed to inspect bus routes and failed to warn bus drivers of certain hazards. And so here, if you apply the interpretation of the appellees in this case, those are acts that were completely independent of, in that case, and by the way, in that case, there was an auto exclusion, and the auto exclusion excluded bodily injury or property damage arising out of the ownership, maintenance, use, or entrustment to others of an auto. And if you apply the appellee's interpretation, then these acts, which have nothing to do specifically, that are not acts of ownership, maintenance, use, or entrustment to others of an auto, that wouldn't be within the exclusion. But that's not what the Illinois Supreme Court found. And what they found was that these acts were not, quote-unquote, wholly independent of the ownership, maintenance, or use or entrustment to others of an auto, and that therefore the exclusion applied even to those allegations of independent conduct by persons other than the driver of the vehicle in that case. The other similar case that we discussed is Massachusetts Bay, in which, again, the auto exclusion was at issue, and, again, it involved the arising out of language. And the court and the allegations against the insured in that case were that the insured failed to comply with federal drug testing regulations that are applicable to trucking carriers. And the court in Massachusetts rejected the approach that's being suggested by the appellees and said, quote, in the case sub judice, count 27 of the underlying complaint alleging the federal drug regulation is actionable only because the underlying plaintiffs were injured in a vehicle collision, since the statute at issue is designed solely to remedy the problem of intoxicated commercial drivers on the public roadways. The court found, based on that, that the excluded cause, in this case use of an auto, predominates over the federal drug regulation claim. So the analogy in this case is the Adjacent Landowners Excavation Protection Act is actionable only because the adjacent property was damaged by excavation work performed by 1452 owners, contractors, and or subcontractors. And the act is the purpose of the act, and what it was designed to do was to remedy the problem of damage to neighboring property. And here, the damage to neighboring property was the result of the excavation work done by the contractors and subcontractors. So there simply is not a wholly independent cause of action here for separate conduct of the insured. This is not like, this would not be where the insurer did one kind of work at a project, the contractors and subcontractors did another kind of work at the project, and the insured's work caused some level of property damage and the contractor's work caused some other property damage, where these are independent causes of property damage. I'm going to reserve, unless there's questions, the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Charis. We'll hear now from Mr. Lyman.
Thank you. May it please the court. My name is Mark Lyman. I represent the insured 1452 North Milwaukee LLC, and I'm speaking on behalf of the other defendants who were dismissed in this action. It's important for this court to know that the district court, in responding to the dispositive motions that were filed, looked to see whether any allegation in the rather lengthy complaints filed in the underlying actions could potentially fall within the coverage. And those underlying complaints were against several different defendants. They were against CK Development, Frank Cam, Ram Sewer, a construction company, Good Karma, and 1452. The district court, in reaching its decision, looked, it appears, solely to the Adjacent Owner and Excavation Act and found that the owner, 1452, did have coverage because that owner had a duty under the Act. That duty was the owner's duty, the owner's obligation. That duty was not the contractor or any subcontractor performing work on the site's duty or obligation. It's also a duty and an obligation that occurred prior to any contractor or subcontractor being hired. And this court, or the district court, found that since there was even that portion of the complaint, which is set forth as a strict liability count in the underlying complaint, that since that owner could be found directly responsible, directly liable for any damages that occurred, that there was coverage under the Nautilus policy. I disagree with counsel that there is a contingency type of approach to the Act. In other words, you don't have to give notice if you don't have damages. I understand how foolish that may sound, but there is an affirmative duty to give notice if you're going to excavate, and there's allegations that we violated that Act. Whether damages arise, whether damages occur in the future is irrelevant to that. We still needed to give notice, and we have been, and there's allegations specifically in the complaint that we did not do that. As your honors know, there's a policy that has been issued to my client here. That policy was in effect. The basis for the declaratory action was under the two specific exclusions. The first one being contractors or subcontractors. It's important that the court look, as the district court did, into the declarations and the supplements to determine what the intent of the parties were. And the district court did that and said, what was the intent of the type of insurance that my client, at 1452 owner, was trying to insure against? And the court found and recognized that Nautilus knew that this property was going to be demolished, and it was eventually going to be developed. The exclusion that they seek to raise to avoid coverage is that insurance doesn't apply, in this case, for property damage arising out of operations, interesting here, performed by you by contractors and subcontractors you hire. There's no allegation in the complaint that we hired Good Karma, one of the defendants. There's no allegation in the complaint that we hired Ram Sewer in the complaint. We never hired them. Ram Sewer, pursuant to the allegations, is the company that was doing the excavation on the project. The ambiguity that the district court, we think, noticed in its memorandum or in its ruling was that what type of insurance was 1452 trying to obtain here? They had a vacant lot, a vacant building. It was going to be demolished, and it was going to be developed. How could they not know that there were going to be contractors and subcontractors?
Is the insurance application of 1452 part of the insurance agreement?
Part of the policy. It was attached to the complaint, Your Honor. And it was
attached to the complaint, but under Illinois law, does it become part of the insurance agreement?
To my knowledge, yes, Your Honor. And that's the district court looked at that and did apply it. The next section, which is the classification section, states the insurance doesn't apply, and it says for operations not shown on the declarations, its endorsements or supplements, and it was a made part of this case. It's my argument to that would be it's the basis that Nautilus wrote the insurance and collected our premium, and for which we paid. There's no allegations we didn't, as for what they collected. So they knew that we were going to have subcontractors. The district court didn't go there. The district court, rightfully so, took a not a simpler approach, but a more direct approach, and says there's allegations against you, 1452 owner, that you have responsibility for these damages for which there might be coverage, and therefore potentially you have coverage, and there is in fact a duty to defend. The second the cases that counsel cited with respect to the interchangeability of this, all of those apply to automobile cases. They apply to use of an automobile, and they specifically identify the instrumentality or the vehicle that is not, in fact, covered. We don't have that here. 1452 could be held responsible for its failure to give that notice, and that's what the district court said. I moved into the second argument, which was the classification, that this was a vacant building, and Nautilus wasn't given time to explore whether or not it was any personal property, and therefore that would have been a violation of the policy, or that exclusion would have applied. As the district court quickly found, the building was vacant enough to be demolished. So the building was vacant. This was an excavation project. There were no buildings on this property at the time the excavation occurred. So they insured vacant property. They initially insured a vacant building. And at the time of this occurrence or this incident, there were no structures on the property. So that likewise does not apply. The standard here is there coverage or potentially allegations in the complaint for coverage under the policy. The district court properly found that there was, and we would ask that you would affirm the district court's ruling on behalf of all of the defendants. If there's no questions, I don't have anything further.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Lyman. How much time does Mr. Shores have?
You have 1 minute, sir.
Okay, I'd just like to address 2 points. One is the issue of the application that was attached to the policy. The application is attached to the policy because the insured has to be bound by its representations in that application. There's nothing in the policy that states that the application provides terms of insurance or is otherwise incorporated into the policy for purposes of defining coverage. Secondly, the issue of whether or not Good Karma and Ram were hired by 1452 owner. Again, the issue here is that the language in the exclusion says your contractors are subcontractors. By definition, a subcontractor is directly hired by the contractor, but works for both the contractor and the owner. Good Karma and Ram, or rather CK Development and Frank Cam, are specifically alleged to have performed the excavation and shoring work, and the allegations are that they were hired by 1452 owners, so the exclusion should apply, and I rely on the brief on the classification limitation, and I ask the court to reverse the judgment of the district court and remand for further proceedings. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shores. The case will be taken under advisement. And we thank both counsel for their arguments today.